Welcome back to another episode, everybody, of Life in the Fast Lane. I'm standing up right now because I'm just walking around. I have a little bit of energy because I've been sitting for a little bit because we just did a long episode with old JD.
Gator.
You can call Gator.
I'm Gator. Earn your stripes, boy.
I'm earning them. He today made my day, and he said, Kyle, you all right? I said, all right. That makes me happy.
He did good. You did good.
So, now we're... It's another day. We're back at it. We're trying to catch back up, actually, because we have some more powder coming in and a bunch of stuff going on. So it's we've had a bit of a moment since we've done the last podcast.
It's been a minute, dude. I'm tired. I'm tired.
Me too.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think. When would this one comes out on the probably on the 11th? So that'll probably be the day. Actually, it is the day. So at this time, Chloe and I are going to an appointment.
Ooh.
And we'll actually be expecting.
What are you expecting?
So I can say I'm expecting a child.
Oh no, what'd you do?
Yeah, we fucked up.
What'd you do?
So little number two will be on the way. It'll be on the 11th. So I'm just trying to make sure we're timing things up, but she had said that we were allowed to announce it after the appointment. So,
well, congratulations, young man.
Thank you.
And so, little lady.
Yeah, we're excited, and little Miss May is going to be a big sister. Wow, that plane is flying crooked as shit.
crab walking.
Dude, that was bad. I don't know if you saw it.
No, I didn't see it.
He was like sideways. Anyway, let's get back on track. I know it's always fun to have a nice little 1-2 when we come in. Mm-hmm. But this one's been on your mind, and you had texted this a while ago. I think this was back in, like, December you had texted me this. But a podcast, Welcome to the Circus.
Mm-hmm.
And I know things around here have been definitely a circus lately because it's been...
Well, the whole damn world.
Oh, my God, dude. The world, life, business. I mean, shit, even just expecting a kid and then us also looking at homes all at the same time. That's a haywire hellhole all at
mm-hmm.
once.
Mm-hmm.
Season starting.
And you're like, signing jobs left and right for Scarlet
Oak. Dude, I've shit myself. It's great, though, because, like, to me, and this isn't me trying to toot my own horn or anything. It's just a matter of, like, hit the button.
Which button is it?
Not that one.
Wrong button.
You fucked up. But no, it's was you going for another two?
No. I'm preparing
just in case,
for the next one.
Just in case.
It was too low.
You know, there actually is a there's a pad that came with that, and you can write on which one's
I'm
which.
Sure.
And
yeah.
I just never grabbed it.
Yeah, we need to do that.
But no, dude, it definitely is a circus because there's a lot of people that would see how much is going on in my life and go, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't want to do it. I mean, most people want to go home, watch their... Now, I give a couple of people accolades and say they can do it. I know Ben can.
Do what?
Ben can juggle a lot of shit.
Well, that's when you're typically people that can juggle are successful.
Yeah, bet I know Ben and Kim are going to be. Eric, my buddy out in Ohio, he's got four kids or three kids, one on the way, balancing business, switching business strategy. So he went from doing full-time lawn care and now he wants to do full-time lawn fertilizer and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So he's just doing a in his business. Matt's pretty good at it. Matt, I love Matt, but he can show sometimes when he's stressed.
Yeah.
I can read him, but yeah. I've been able to read him like a book for ages now.
Yeah.
But he tries to cover it, but I know him a little too well.
So
that's like you and JD though.
Yeah, I mean, I think I handle it pretty well. Some days I get stressed, of course.
There's days where you're just like, I need a gallon of alcohol.
I don't say that.
Your body says it. But you're just like, I could use a gallon of alcohol. I want sleep, and I want do not disturb for 5 days.
That is what I'm at. Right, like right now, I'm running on like fumes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm exhausted.
Oh, last night, Maylin would not go to sleep. I love her to death, but she wouldn't go to sleep. So I had to take her, pick her up, hold her for a while. Then she started to slowly nod off. And then once she got to the point where she just like, she stopped, because she does this weird kick thing when she wants to be up.
Yeah.
And it drives me nuts. And sometimes I feel like I don't feel like she's having problems with anything. She's just like her mom jumps all the time. Chloe jumps when she's going to sleep.
Oh, that weird.
Yeah, and it scares the shit out of me sometimes. Some of them are like the trap door, but she doesn't notice it. She doesn't feel it.
No, my daughter does the same thing. I know that's how she's asleep.
Yeah, so Maylin does that, and as soon as she starts doing that or it starts to slow down a little bit, I handed her off to Chloe, and Chloe gave her a bottle and right to sleep. I was like, thank God.
But, okay, so back to... Damn, you just took us off on a wild goose.
I'm sorry. It's part of the circus. Dude, I'm not even joking. You know there's Instagrams you send me where it's the bikers and they're just ADHD like a mug? That's my brain 100% all the time. Just not all of the intrusive thoughts make it out.
You got to get under control.
It's about 2% of them that make it out. The rest of them are still floating.
Could you imagine living in a day where there was no phones, no TV? Like, it's a horse buggy farm.
I'd probably enjoy it. I would just need the right people around me because there's sometimes where I'd like to talk. I want to be around people. I like presence.
I get it.
Not like presences and like things. I just like people.
Yeah. I get it. So I texted Kyle this
ages ago.
Yeah, I don't know how long ago. It was a while ago. But welcome to the circus. And
see, look, crooked as shit.
It's because it's windy. Mm-hmm. The planes are flying over. So welcome to the circus to me, what I was kind of referencing to was life. So from the moment you're born, the world's trying to kill you.
Your dad and I had this conversation yesterday.
It literally is. And that's what I mean by welcome to the circus. So the whole world, I mean, go back to cavemen, right? So you're born, and I don't even know how they even had children back then. Like that must've been the most horrific.
Well, mortality rates were so freaking high. Well,
go back to cavemen. They don't have scissors to cut the cord or whatever. Like a
rock.
Or they're chewing it off and eating the placenta. you know what I mean? It's crazy. So if you go back then, right, you're a little baby. You come out and you're just a little blob, day old, whatever. And then there's like this saber-tooth lion thing that's trying to eat you. Like you're in a cave. And there's a bear, and there's a snake, and there's a dinosaur, and whatever else coming to get you, you're just food. Mm-hmm. You're just food. At the end of the day, that's truly all we all need is air and food, really, right? And not money. Money is this fictitious thing that society has created to keep order and kind of it's actually a ranking.
Well, that and it also is designed to kill you too. If you don't have enough of it, you don't get anything.
Right, and you die. So back to like pilgrims times, if you go back and do some study on the pilgrims times, so what they did is they used to allot all the same size property to everybody. So say it's an acre of land, right? Just for simple, there's a 10-acre plot, 10 people, each person gets an acre, and each person grows and agrees to grow a different type of food or raise a different cattle or whatever. And then what it's supposed to do is it's supposed to make everything even, everybody is able to live and enjoy their life, and no one has to do anything kind of crazy. Well, what ends up happening, and this goes back to life in a circus, you know, what did I say it's called?
What did you just say?
Life is like a circus? What
Welcome to the circus.
Welcome to the circus.
I thought you said life in the, and I'm like, are you trying to say?
Yeah, I'm just too many thoughts. So people, what would happen in these pilgrims times is that there would be some people that just wouldn't do their job.
Yeah.
And that's, unfortunately, that's humankind. That's just, I don't know what it is. We're like water. We always try to find the path of least resistance.
Well, that, and it also goes back to physics. It's Newtonian. It's an object in motion stays in motion. An object at rest stays at rest. So once you stop, you don't want to keep going.
Right, and that all stems from a mindset, right? Whether you want to keep going or not, that's a decision. That's not your body. That's your mind, and you're in control of your mind. And your mind is controlling everything. That's why people are like, oh, you should use your heart. And in my head, I'm going, your heart is useless without your brain, right? But at the same time, your brain is useless without the heart to pump blood to it in reality, right? So it's a very...
They have to be used in conjunction.
Yeah. So, and that goes back to these pilgrims times. If you're not working together, it's not going to work. And that's what happened. People weren't doing their job, but they still expected, like, if one farmer's growing corn and the other one's growing or, you know, raising pigs, and they... One needed the corn to feed the pigs, and then the other person grew the corn because he wanted the bacon, right? But if one of those two guys wasn't, if the guy wasn't raising the corn to feed the pigs, and the pigs would die, and then nobody had bacon, nobody had food, right? So,
bacon sounds so good.
It does. I love bacon. I like it crispy. I hate fatty bacon. I hate fat in general.
It's great in eggs, though.
What? Bacon? Bacon grease.
Bacon grease.
The grease, yeah. But so go back to, you know, welcome to the circus. In the world that we live in now today, you're going to have an incredible amount of just shit thrown your way, and it becomes like a circus. Where I got this from is there's a song literally called Welcome to the Circus.
Five Finger Death Punch.
And that's kind of my genre of music I listen to. And that and Trop Rock. And I got to thinking about it while I was driving this rental car. And I've traveled so much.
Especially recently.
It's so many different places. I don't even remember where I've been or what I've done. I just do what I have to do and I move on. Because if you think about it too much, or if I think about it too much, then I end up bogging down my thoughts. My bandwidth then shrinks and then I can't perform. So I literally... I think about as little as I have to get to where I'm going. And then when I get there, I try to rest as much as I can. And then I do my job and then I get back to resting as much as I can because it wears me out. And then I'm trying to run a business. I'm trying to return emails. I'm trying to still be an innovative type of person where I'm thinking about things. It's just, it's a lot to do. I'm still trying to do social media while I'm on the road. Nightmare. I did a YouTube video, the last one we just released. I don't know if you saw it or not. It was the battery bank video. Have you seen that one? You haven't seen that.
I saw the build of the trailers.
No, there's another one after that.
Yeah, I hadn't got to that one yet.
You know, you were giving me shit about not making YouTube videos, and now all of a sudden I got like a couple of them out there already.
Yeah, because you're like, I got nothing to do on a plane. Fuck it.
No, I wasn't on the plane. I was waiting for the plane.
Oh, yeah.
So I left the house at 3 o'clock.
There is not much to do at that time of day.
No, and there was no – dude, I was so hungry, and there was nothing open. There was no coffee. There was nothing. Anyway, so my point to whole Welcome to the Circus is that – There is going to be so many obstacles in your way, right? That's the crazy side of things. Whether it's personal, whether it's business, whether it's... Dude, I was getting off this plane the other day, and there was a woman that got up, and she put her backpack on, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. The backpack's way too big to bring on the plane.
Yeah.
It's just stupid. And that annoyed me. And
it's like one of those like camping backpacks.
Yes.
Like all their shit.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know what you're doing. Don't... And we're on... I think it was American I was on. So, because they're not trying to put bags on the plane because it costs too much. But that's why I typically fly just Southwest, keep it simple, until I get my PJ one day. Hey. Literally, some of the other day, they're like, are you flying private to me the other day? And I'm like, it's so freaking cool that someone looks at me and thinks I'm going to fly private. That's cool. That's when you know you're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
So, we're getting closer. So, that's good. when perception is reality. I say that all the freaking time.
Imagine a quip in like 10 years.
We're all flying on the PJ.
And then we take JD's Sprinter van.
Yeah. So this lady gets up with this huge backpack, and I'm annoyed. And this, again, goes back to, you know, life's a circus, and it's not what happens to you. It's how you handle it. And I'm a little annoyed, and I'm like, whatever. I'm not going to say anything. Then this black woman stands up, and she's, like, in the window seat, and here she comes. And no one's moving. The door's not even open yet.
Yeah.
And she proceeds to just force her way in. And then starts screaming at the woman that has a huge backpack on and just using every racial slur you can think of. She is cussing and flipping out. And she's like, why don't you get my stuff and get my way? And she's just going off. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I was mad. I was annoyed by the woman with the big backpack. Then she, like, shoves it in my face. And I'm getting even more upset. And then I'm thinking, why would this person do it? And so before I react to the crazy circus moment, I just let it play out. And I'm like waiting. And then all of a sudden I see this black woman step out and she starts like freaking out. And it was completely the black woman's fault. She just needed to sit her ass down and wait to get off the plane. That simple. Like that's how that works. The people in the aisle get out and move out. Like, I don't even know why I have to say this.
I always say it's a zipper.
It is a
zipper. You let one person out, then you go, and then that's how it goes, and nobody understands it. Like
well, zipper, no, they do. They're just selfish.
Well, yeah, and like especially when you're in traffic.
Yes,
that drives me nuts.
It's because the whole world now is so selfish. No one has any kind of empathy or any kind of like just hey, I'll let this person in. I just want to make this happen. I was in Texas the other day, and I'm sitting in this van with this guy. We had to go to Home Depot to get a rivet gun because he didn't have a rivet gun, and I'm sitting there, and they're just passing us on the right. And I look up, and it's the merge lane is on the right, and it moves left. And we're in the middle lane, and there's a lane to the left. The left lane's moving. Our lane's not. And the right lane, where everybody's zipping by us, is going because they're just running down the end and zipping in. And it's like, do you not understand that you're the problem? And then they start honking and getting upset, and I'm thinking to myself, you're an idiot. You're a complete idiot. You don't understand that if you just give a little, you'll get so much more back.
Yeah.
Right? In all kinds of different scenarios. So, talking about like you know life in the fast lane and talking about you know welcome to the circus. Here's the deal. I told you in the beginning of the podcast that The world's out to get you. It is. It's nonstop out to get you. Like right now, I'll give you a great for instance. The other day, about a month or so ago, a woman comes in and she's a fire marshal.
Mm.
And when a fire marshal comes in here, I embrace it. I can't get past it. She's going to find things. I just got to get them rectified.
Yeah, we also pride ourselves as much as we can into making sure that
things are right.
Yeah, like we're not trying to skimp around or cut corners or anything.
No,
like that.
No. And I'm trying to run the best business I can. So she comes in, and we do the inspection, and I am as open as I possibly can with her. I'm showing her everything. And she finds like some dead batteries and some emergency lights, and there was like one fire extinguisher was rusty and didn't have a tag on it, like a recertification tag. And there was like our electrical room needed a sign on the door and just little dumb things. And after she left the initial inspection, she looks at me and she goes, "One of the best facilities I've ever been in, like in a long time.
Yeah.
Really, really, really good job." So she's like, "You know, I'm going to write you up for four or five different things." And that's fine. You know, we're going to have that. I just know. And it's kind of her job. She's going to find something. So she's like, "Get those fixed. I'll be back in 3 weeks."
It's your job as the business owner to go, "Hey, let's rectify this as fast as possible." Yep. And I mean, we did. We had everything that she had given. I think you were on Amazon for the fire extinguisher or whatever.
The only thing we missed was the signage on the electrical room door.
Yeah. That was on there pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Jamie, one of our lead engineer guys, he just found it on Amazon and ordered it when she was here.
Yeah.
When she did her final inspection. So she did this final inspection, and she's just super happy. She's like, "This is great. Very, very happy. Here's the problem." Then her boss decides to come in while I'm in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And he raped us. I mean, she was supposed to do everything and make sure it was all right, and he came in here and just blistered everything.
It was to a point where like all of us looked at each other as like, nobody hop on the forklift right now.
Yeah.
Let it sit. We'll do everything we can on the ground. If we need something, hey Sam. But beyond that, it was,
yeah, the guy was just being an ass, and he's walking around smiling because he just knows
he's
got the power.
Yeah,
right.
He did.
And again, going back to, you know, welcome to the circus. Nice C8 Corvette just went by. Yes. Is it upsetting? Yes. Is it going to cost us like $30,000 probably to get things to the point where he wants it? I don't even know if it's code.
Yeah. And we don't know what all the, like Craig said, you don't know what you don't know.
Well, you don't know what you don't know, but also I think that he's also taking things like there's to code and then there's to the extreme.
Yeah. I have opinions, but I don't know if I should honestly fully say it.
We can always erase it, right?
You can't. Okay. I honestly think he enjoyed being a narc when he was a kid. Like,
sure.
He enjoyed looking, like, he got bullied, and then it was one of those moments where, you know what, I'm going to get you in trouble, and he found a way, and he did it, and he enjoyed it. I don't know.
I think that's perfectly fine to say on the podcast. I think that's probably a thing. I think he probably, at one point in his life, got bullied.
Well, he said this exact line. He said, "My job doesn't pay much, but I love every ounce of it."
Which means he loves the power and control,
yeah.
Which is part of the problem in this country right now. Is just, it's ugly.
There was a lot recently, as you know. This is all I'll say. Super Tuesday, there was a lot of interesting stuff that happened that I saw.
What, here?
In the world.
I was traveling.
I wasn't focused on it, but a lot of the podcasts I've just been listening, like Patrick Bet David does very good of just staying right down the dead near center. And I'll just say shit is going to get wild.
Oh, are you talking about like politically?
Yeah, politically in our lives.
What do you say?
So essentially the DOJ overturned everything with Trump about them taking him off the ballot and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And now everybody's going, well, now we have to defund the DOJ or the Supreme Court and this and that. And it's... Yeah, people are trying to use and wield powers that they have or that they think they have in order to...
Well, there's one party that is abusing the system because they know they're about to get... They're going to exit.
Right, they need to.
Yeah, they do. It's ugly. I mean, the world is any...
My thing is, just do to be better for yourself. Do to be better for everybody else. Don't do to be better because you think it's meant to.
I'll just tell you this. those people that are in power, when they go into power, they ain't got no money. When they leave, they have hundreds of millions of dollars.
I saw that stat. I was like, holy shit.
They don't make that kind of money working for the government. No. You're supposed to serve the people, and they don't.
I saw that the other day. I was like, wow, that's fucked.
So that's part of welcome to the circus. Like, we've got people in power that are abusing, and I'm not going to say who or what side. I don't really care. They're on both sides.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's ugly. It is, and we need...
It's not a dual party anymore. It's a uniparty.
It is. And they're all just laughing to the bank, and they're destroying the middle class, and they're making a top and a bottom, and it is just... I said on a podcast a long time ago that don't forget what made you successful.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't too long ago.
It's part of your moral compass.
Yeah, it's part of the moral compass, and, you know, to take... like the landscaping thing, right? What made me successful? Because at C8, he was hauling the other way.
I did hear him.
What made me successful in landscaping was just simple stuff. Like when it came to advertising, I did SEO. I did banner signs and emails. That's what made me successful.
Keep it simple, stupid.
I did. And when I stopped putting out banner signs and I stopped sending out emails and I stopped doing the SEO, things would slow down. And I'm like, what the hell? What's going on? And then I'm like, oh, you got cocky, you got complacent, and you let things slide and didn't do your job. So that's what's going on in our government now. That's what's going on in the world, is that people have gotten off of what made this country great, and it's going to crumble.
Yeah.
And then when it crumbles, then greats will then have to come out of the shadows. We'll have to fix it. And who knows what it'll even be in my generation.
And if you're still at 2028.
For real, dude. Let that... The only thing I don't like him... I hate that he smokes weed. I really lost a lot of respect when I heard that. That's frustrating to me.
I get it. Okay, there's two parties. I honestly see there's potheads, and then there's people that just...
What's wrong with just a cigar? Like, can't you just smoke a cigar and be happy?
I don't know. I think it's there is definitely a difference in high. I know that.
Well, of course there is. There's also, you can do heroin, and there's a difference in high.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing is, like, I don't see weed fully as a drug. But at the same time, like my father says, is if you look at it from the government standpoint, it is technically a drug.
No, it is a drug, and no one can say otherwise.
But federally, it's not legal, but in certain states it is, which is where I go... There's a very, very, very fine line there, but then there's also parts of it that I can see that marijuana actually does have medical benefits, but I don't know if the people that always use them are using them for medical benefits. There's a lot of people that just smoke them and they just do stupid shit, which that I can see there is a shitty connotation to it.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, there's also a difference between a head high and a full body high, and I don't know.
Here's what I would say is that what are you trying to escape? What are you trying to get high for? I can tell you.
I think he does it for anxiety. Because
anxiety is just simply your body telling you something's wrong.
Yeah.
You need to fix that, not just try to forget about it. That's weak.
I don't know. I think he sees, or not sees, but he's more or less focused on a different picture, but he's afraid. I don't know, is he afraid to go after it? He just doesn't know how to go after it. That's what I see. Because his biggest thing is personal excellence out of everyone. And I truly believe that if he went for office, mm-hmm. he would do great. But it's like you have a focus currently, which is First Form and the other enterprises that you started that you know need you.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows if he also steps away from them, it's going to hurt those enterprises, potentially. And I think that's where he potentially does it. Because I know he still smokes cigars.
I think he's
kind of moved towards it. I don't know if you've seen it recently, but he's smoked a lot more cigars lately.
I've seen it. I don't know. I don't like, and we just did a podcast with Gator, and, you know, he talks about drinking and having a good time, and you can clearly hear, like, in the podcast, like, I never drank till I was 21, and I typically don't drink, and I don't like it in my system, and I...
You don't drink a lot. You'll drink here and there to be like, you know what, we're celebrating, we're having a good time. Like, if we go to Senior Chili's here, you normally say, guys, one. But that's together. It's
right.
Part of our community.
And it's not about getting... blistered. I've never been like a blistered guy. You heard it in the podcast. Like, I don't I like to be not in control, like be controlling.
Yeah.
But I like to control my environment. And if I feel anxiety or if I feel frustrated, that's because I didn't handle something. And you have to handle it. You just have to. Excuse me, I didn't mean to burp there.
You're good.
And most people they go to I'm going to call it substances, which could be anything. It could be food. It could be an activity. It could be a drug. It could be words. It could be thoughts. It could be a lot of different things. And the reality of it is that no one wants to hear this, but you're in control fully. Now, there are things that are out of our control, like cancer. Now, I think cancer comes from some kind of imbalance somewhere in your body, and the only thing you have control over is exercise and intake.
There's an interesting part about that that my dad read, and you've met my dad. You kind of know how his brain works.
He's a strong, smart dude.
He, you think Gator can go down a rabbit hole?
Oh, I'm sure.
My dad would shit on anybody. Because when he comes to when he researches, he goes like extreme peer study, like he goes into it. Mm-hmm. And he got in when he started doing keto, he started looking into stuff like that. The main reason he went to keto is because his dad died at 54 and he was coming up on that age. And granted, his dad smoked, his grandfather smoked, they both died around the same age. And he's like, I don't want that to be part of my bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
So he researched keto and he went down this track because a lot of our family members have had cancer, and apparently from the studies that he has read, because they're single factor studies versus multiple factor studies where you have different things, you're like, oh yeah, all these things lead to cancer. It was a single factor, and the one single factor that kept coming up in the study was glucose.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar
is a drug. It's coke.
And the funny thing is the main food source for cancer is glucose. It mainly feeds off of that in your bloodstream.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So he's like, well, the way to mitigate that would be to cut out all sugar, which is the keto diet. You don't eat sugar. You don't eat carbs. Or if you do, you limit it to a very, 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 very small amount a day.
Yes.
I mean, Grant, his health has done a full 180. His attitude's done a full 180. And, you know, he's doing great. And even his doctor's like, your blood work's off the freaking charts right now. Mm-hmm. And in a great way. And it's just interesting that his readings into that, everything came back to the one thing with sugar.
Oh, I 100% agree. I guarantee you, if you want to lose weight, get rid of sugar.
But it's also, sugar leads to Alzheimer's too. It's the number one leading cause to Alzheimer's.
I'm telling you, sugar is a legalized drug. Mm-hmm. I 100%, dude. If I can cleanse myself of sugar in about a week or two, I'm good. I don't crave it. As soon as I crack a soda or something, have a drink, right, something like that, all of a sudden I've got cravings that I almost can't control.
You know what my one weakness is? Cheese.
You're a cheese guy?
Love cheese.
Yeah, I could go without it.
Don't have to worry about too much else. I love cheese. I could go in, grab a couple slices of cheese, nibble on that all day.
My go-to used to be milk. Like, I could not live without milk. I drank a gallon of milk a day. That's what I used to drink. I don't know what I have now that, I adore and I just can't get enough of. Like, I don't know what it is. But anyway, getting back to, welcome to the circus. You know, when it comes to your health it comes to politics or it comes to business or relationships or just your mental health, it gets to be crazy.
It does. Always have that true north, that moral compass.
Yes.
You need to have that.
What
your
podcast was that?
It was like 20s. I can't remember. It was like 23.
So if you guys are listening, go back to the podcast talking about your
moral compass. I can find it really quick. Uno Memento, por favor.
Yeah, he'll tell you exactly what number. Oh, so that, to me, that's a big one. Like the other day, I was mentoring somebody and I was listening to him. And I think listening is probably one of the number one things, even though we're sitting here talking nonstop. But I, my goal always is to understand someone, to get to know them, to understand their process, procedures, whether it's personal or on a business level. And this gentleman, very nice guy, lives over in Salisbury, Maryland. And we sat down, we had lunch 28. Together. 28, good. And
I knew it was in there.
The one big thing that I picked up on was it didn't seem like this is going to sound rude the way I'm saying this, but I don't mean it in a rude way, is he didn't know his true north. He didn't know exactly where he wanted to be. He was just more being – he was living in a more reactive state, in a survival state, than he was in a controlled environment and saying, I want to go from point A to point B.
Yeah.
And so what I advised him and I advise everybody on is find your finish line, which is where you want to be in your life.
Work backwards.
And then work backwards to where you are now and then start your journey.
My – dude, recently trying to find – okay, so – The main reason we're trying to, like, look for a house, and grant, I know things are hectic. I have a shit ton on my plate right now, and it's blisteringly insane, and it feels like it.
Yeah.
But I know that when we get the house and we can settle ourselves, we won't feel like we're reaching towards something. Now, granted, is it going to stretch us a little bit? Yes.
Oh, you're
going to
shut down. You're going to be house poor for a while.
Yes and no. I got the idea. Mm. That we're working with that I think is going to help. Mm. Some of that stuff's going to have to be off the podcast.
Okay, that's fine.
But so we have two options. Either my brother can come rent, because the house that we have, yes, it has five bedrooms, but it's not a massive house or on a large piece of land. Mm-hmm. But it has the right layout and the things, everything's in the design that we could potentially put it in. But I know that when we do that, it's going to pull off a lot of mental stress for Chloe and I. Plus, it's part of our compass and goal in life is to have a house for ourselves, because then we can start building from there. We don't feel like we can build off of anything where we're living right now. And mm-hmm. that's just, granted, yes, some of it, I guess, is the mindset and the mental constraint that we've kind of put on ourselves. But also at the same time, it's like the house we're in now, we can't really have a bunch of people over and enjoy little parties. Like, it's not that we party. We enjoy our people that we have in our life around us. So, like, I'd like to have you and the guys over for poker night at our house or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I'd love that.
And then make it so that we can, you know, dick around and shoot cornhole in the backyard. And granted, this is going to be a good backyard for cornhole. Like, perfect side yard, have a fence. It'd be beautiful. Pull a mulch mate with a mower around with the dual pods.
Mm-hmm.
Do that. And yeah. Great way to have cornhole.
Yeah.
Did it from a party last year, but I was so hammered I couldn't even throw. I really was, dude. Hey, Sam's like, dude, you are fucked. I'm like, no. I need another drink. I never got another drink. He's like, you are hammered. And then we sat on this bench out back, and it's sunk in the middle. Mm. And I just was like accepting fate and went back with it. He was like, dude, it was slow motion. It was hilarious. But no, having the goal and setting forth towards the house gives us the ability to dream together and build together, because we build other things off of that dream. Mm-hmm. And it's not like, oh yeah, we have to have this, we have to have that. It's just more or less like, man, it'd be great to like have our family here. We can have family gatherings. We can start hosting Christmas together here. Like that's what we dream and want to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
So we can, with our, what's his name? Our loan officer. He builds all the sheets out for us so we can see what the price of the home is going to be and how everything's going to break down for us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, well, now we need to start setting budgets. We need to start setting goals and how we're going to save. We need to make sure that we have a savings goal first and then everything else. So, yeah, we're going to be a little house poor in the beginning, but I think in the end, we're definitely going to be able to make it work.
Oh, you always will. It's just how much shit do you have to endure?
I think us having our own house in a place that we can adore will make us feel a lot better than feeling in a place that's like, okay, it's a rental. Yeah, we live here. Yeah, and this is the – I don't want to make it sound like we're not grateful. We are very grateful for having a roof over our heads. It's just a matter of the feeling that we have being in someone else's home. It just – it's one of those things to us. That's not us. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like us. We don't feel like we can be us in that.
Oh, I'm in a similar situation, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, this is how it goes. It's tough. I get it. But, you know.
It helps you find that true north with your compass.
Yeah, I get it. And that's, and to relieve the pressure of the whole circus mentality is, I'll give you a good for instance. And I have to sit back and chill out. So JD Gator was just in here. You guys, if you've listened to that podcast, go back one, and it's just hysterical. I mean, we were just being us. And, you know, he's sitting there, and he's got, I don't know, $400 shoes on. He's got a Rolex on his wrist. He's got a, you know, nice Raptor truck. And
I actually don't know how much his shoes are. I'm actually curious.
I don't know. They're expensive. So anyway, you know, I think you know, I look at him and I'm like, dang, I want a Rolex. I want a big new truck like that, but I do have a big new truck. I don't have a Rolex, right? And I'm not wearing $400 sneakers. But I have to control myself because he doesn't have, you know, a 1,200 horsepower Audi R8 twin turbo. He doesn't have a Super Snake. You know, he's got other things, and I'm doing just fine. And
you're comparing on the basis of what you want versus what you actually have that he doesn't.
I mean, and then I'm sure he looks at me and he's probably like, I wish I had an Audi, right?
Like, he's literally said, he was like, I want a supercar. I need to find a supercar.
He does. He needs one. It'd be a lot of fun. He'd enjoy it. So, you know, that creates that circus crazy feeling in my head when I start to do that. When I'm like, oh, he was just in Vegas. Well, I want to go to Vegas.
Yeah.
He's got a Rolex. I want a Rolex. Like, I do. I want a Rolex. I want a very nice, expensive Rolex one day. I'm just not there yet.
I'm not a big fan of Rolex.
It's not.
I know the principle of them, but I look at them and I'm like,
what's the other one? APO or whatever it is. And there's a Burling. And there's
a Burling. I don't know.
I think the APO or what is it called? I'm just starting to learn about watches, and I mean, dude, I was online the other day looking at some of them, and they're like $200,000, $400,000 for a watch.
Yeah.
What? So anyway.
And they appreciate.
Oh, they do. They're investments. Mm-hmm. They truly are. It's crazy. So
it's an art piece.
Yeah, it is. And art's a whole other game that rich people play and hide money, and ugh, it's scary.
I watched a movie the other day, and there was a one piece. I know it's a movie, but it was. Some parts of it were based off an event, and you could think about it. One piece can sell for $150 million.
Oh, easy. Easy. And it's a tax write-off.
Exactly.
That's how it goes. I was talking to a guy. So get this. I'm on the phone with a guy yesterday. His name is Nick. I'm not going to tell you his last name, but he is the wealth manager for Joe Gibbs, and he's also the wealth manager for the Cathy family. Truett Cathy. The founder of Chick-fil-A.
Ow!
And
didn't ring a bell.
Those are the two main families that most people would know that agreed to show their face in his company.
Yeah.
So he can talk about them. Now, he said he's got, what did he say? $1 trillion in assets he oversees or something like that. I don't know what it was. But, you know, these people, man, holy cow. But the thing is with them is that they never seem frazzled, yeah. Ever. The real rich people, they're never frazzled. They're short. They're quick to the point. They're texters. They don't like to call. They don't write long emails. It's like click, 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 and they're done. And their message is quick and to the point and just enough information for you to do what you got to do. And that's how this guy acted. Like when we were on the phone, it was him, one of my clients, myself, and our president, Craig, and the guy, Nick, hardly said a word. And every once in a while, he'd pop up, and he'd be like, blah, 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 what's this mean, or whatever the case was. And so what I notice is that these very rich, influential people, they don't create a storm. They don't create a circus around them.
Because everything else is just head trash.
It is. And so what they do is they keep it clean. They stay organized. They're really big on getting things in place to work for them while they're doing something.
They're good at segmenting. It's like we were talking the other day, is just with everything going on, you have to figure out, okay, when you're at work, you're in your work block. You're not anything out of that. When you're at home, you're at your home block. If you're looking at homes, you're in your looking at home block. Mm-hmm. You have to make it so that you're not bleeding over, because if you make it bleed over, it causes fights.
Yeah.
Right? Like if you talk about money with your spouse and you know you're in front of your friends, it just creates a fight.
Yeah.
So I've learned that a lot recently. And it's not that any fight has come up, but I've noticed that it will reduce your anxiety and stress levels dramatically, because you're okay, I'm in this moment. Now I'm in this moment. So like me talking here, I'm not thinking about powder coating. Now granted, I do have times where I talk about it, but I'm doing that because I'm trying to set up myself so that when I go back into it, I'm not missing things or doing this or doing that.
You're giving it your all.
Yeah.
Right? So when you can just draw just hard lines and things. Like last night, I took my wife out for date night, and there was this guy texting me, and I'm like, I've had enough. Like, he's passed my line. He doesn't know it. I've let it go, so it's my fault. And I just texted him. I said, hey, dude, I'm taking my wife out on a date right now. I'm not going to respond to you.
Yeah.
And he goes, sorry, didn't know it. I get it. And that was it. The man never texted me again until today. So that was cool. So he gets it, and that's why he's super successful. This guy has more money than he knows what to do with. Stupid, like, F you money.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my gosh. So I want to cut this podcast short here because I got some things I got to do. Try to control your head trash. Try to control that circus in your life. Don't create storms around yourself, because then you'll never be able to dial yourself in and you know, get out of life what you want. Try to find that finish line. Work backwards to where you are and get started today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Get going now, because you'll look back one day and you'll be like, thank God I started that when I did. You know, if I just sat here and let the mulch man idea stew for a couple of years and try to figure it out, and it never would happen. So just get started. I have something right now I'm very irritated with that. He's had 4 phone calls with me, and he won't get off the pot.
You know who's kicking ass right now?
Who?
Ben.
Is he?
He got 47 estimates done yesterday.
That's ripping it. Good job, Ben.
Dude, he's
killer.
Killing it.
Well, Lyle's getting ready to kill it because he's got his mulch mate in hand. He's, I'm assuming, getting that thing fired up. So, all right, guys, have an awesome day. We love you. We really appreciate you joining us for another episode of Life in the Fast Lane. Don't forget to follow us on all the different social media platforms. Whichever one's your favorite, pick that one. We typically, our kind of hub is Multimate USA on Instagram. And don't forget to check out the YouTube channel. Just put in YouTube, just put in Multimate. Subscribe, like a few videos, check them out. You know, let us know what you think of them. And then don't forget about our Carlson coaching program at mulchmateusa.com. You can check us out there. If you have a business you want to grow or have a bunch of questions about business, I've got over 25 years of experience doing this, grown multi-million dollar companies and sold them. I've got great process procedures in place. We do, eight figures every year with under 8 guys. It's just fantastic. And there's a lot of things that I could probably help you with. And we've signed contracts with the biggest landscape companies in the world and also the biggest retailer in the world, Walmart. So I think
all links are in the description below.
Yeah, I think the credentials are strong here, and we're doing nothing but growing. And we personally feel that we're just getting started.
Yeah, so, we are.
All right, guys, have an awesome day. We'll catch you later in the next episode of Life in the Fast Lane, and we hope you have an awesome day.
Don't miss me too much.
Mulch Mate.